All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
A choice right now, between fear and love. Sister Ron.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Expanding reality.
Elsa Dillon back here hanging out with us. It is so great to see you. Also want to up top here mention to the audio only audience, we love you and you guys do an amazing job in supporting us over there. Want to direct your attention down to the show description down there. It's got a link that reads video version, and in that video version you can come hang out with Elsa Dillon and I. But also Janine Burgess is joining us, and she is joining us crafting a very special piece of her insect mandala deck, which I'm going to hold up her Mandala Oracle deck, which is another deck that she did that is absolutely incredible. But she has got an insect one that she has been working on. This is the 52nd piece she admitted before we started here, and it's the final piece in her deck. So you guys check down below to find all the ways to find Janine and all of her incredible art. Also want to mention that she did the bee for the very first Mindful Expansion journal that we produced ever, and could not be more grateful. She did this custom piece for this project specifically, and incredibly mind-blown and blown away. Look, there it is. She's got it. God, what a rep. Look at that. Incredible and legendary. And then also, just like I said, want to let you guys know she's working on this over here on the video version, so check that out. Come hang out with us. Come see Elsa Dillon in the flesh here and Janine working on this piece. And again, everybody linked down below. It's been a minute, Elsa. A lot of crazy things have been going on. Of course, you have been on before. Your other episodes will be linked down in the show description. You joined Dave Zed and I, had a great conversation with you, and that was a lot of fun, too. So what have you been up to? What has the Dillon clan been doing over there in Australia, holding it down, and wild times around here? How you been?
Thank you, Brandon. It's been a busy last year. We're ready for 25 though. It's been embodiment is the best word. It's like, that's great that you do all that, but now let's really walk it in. Let's walk it in this way, let's walk it in that way, and can you handle it? It's tricky. Pulls out every string, every chord inside your soul. It just gets you. And you can't get away from it. You got to do it yourself. And you got to do it. And you want to give up? You just got to do it. Because there's no one else but you. It's just you. So that's where we've been.
It's amazing. There's a lot of, you know, because you guys have what I would call to be considered to be exceptional contact, right? You have a myriad, a whole gaggle, if you will, of extraterrestrial entities and extra dimensional entities, some of which featured again on the journals back here. Mm-hmm. Link down below, guys. Her daughter Gigi did all of the creative expansion journals, which is for artists, which is what we have live here with us. See how it's all connected here? Absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. So you guys have a lot of that type interaction, but has that interaction been telling you that there's nothing going to come from the outside, that you guys actually are to the point to save yourselves and just do with what you can?
No, but more than ever, I feel like we're looked after. And sometimes I think it's looked after by a field or space, or if you want to call it heaven, And then I realize it's also us as well. So you have to play with it. It's like you have to play with it, literally. And I've tried ignoring it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That option is a big no-no, because it goes, okay, well, we'll pull a harder string, and it doesn't work. So you have to, you just have to get on with it, and you have to be a part of it with the cosmos. So, you know, people say, you know, oh, you've had so many experiences, you know, it must be easy for you, you must be lucky. And I go, it might look like that, but you literally have to practice it more than. And it sounds like hard work. It's not hard work, but you've just got to be very, it's just being mindful, really. Mindful, but mindless. I know, I sound like a real crazy person today, don't I?
Not at all. That makes like a lot of sense, actually. Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is the one thing they showed us. It started with Sirius. No, what? I say it started with Sirius. It started with the dog star. They talk of this prophecy, and we talk about the dog prophecy a lot. And it started with something came to Earth around the Roman times, and it changed us. Some say it changed us for the better, some say for the worse, but it changed us. And this is written in the Bible. What the funny thing is what we have been beautifully drawn below is it's got everything to do with Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse in the Bible, biggest comet meteor. That's why when I asked what you're drawing, I was like, are you serious? Get it? Are you serious?
Oh.
Serious. They want us to be serious, Brandon. There's a reason they want us to be serious. Because when you're serious, you take all the fun out of everything and you lose your high vibrating energy. It's in the Bible. It's the only comet or asteroid they speak of. They call it Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse. I can keep telling you all the different versions of it in different cultures. These are, they changed Earth. They speak of the dung beetle, the scarab, the protection plate. They make this beetle out to be the evil one in the mummy and stuff. It's not. He deals with all the crap. He also is the one that looks like what went on with, I think it was Mercury, where a planet came out of one of the planets. I know, it's full on, right? And they talk about it in our literature and our Bible and stuff, and I'm like, how did we miss that one? And I go, well, what do I do? So now I've got all this information. Who do I tell? Where do I share it? You're going to look crazier.
Not you bring it here. You share it here. This is the right place. Yeah. And you could drop the B words there, but just only in groups of two. Okay. We don't need him showing up and running amok here. If that lore is true, it's a fascinating place. And you, with your wordage, the way that you see language, is fascinating to me. I still talk about your alien, your diet by diet is what a diet means, because ETs are inside of you, an extraterrestrial micro. You've really like thrown me on my thing about scale. Scale, I think, is the whole game here. I think everything is either scale. Super, super big or super small. Yeah. And it's all got to do with scale. All these angels, demons, everything like that, they're just bacteria things that can then either you go to a different scale or they come to your scale or all of these different things. I think scale is fascinating here. And you kind of put me bigger onto that with your, what you said about comets, which is come ET. And again, I've written this out on a whiteboard and shown people. I'm like, Elsa Dillon says this about it. And I just think it's fascinating the way that you dissect language, but you bring it out in a way that it's right in front of us. And yes, you're right about serious, because it seems that there's a trickster element to this reality. And if you're being too serious, too Ahriman as it is, and not Lucifer enough, you know, or if you're too Lucifer, then that's too much. So it encourages you to sort of middle path this thing. But this reality is a trickster in its methods. And it's interesting that it's revealed that way to you as well.
Well, it's because we're talking about the dung beetle. It's toil, toil eating.
Oh, toilet, get out of here.
No, no.
Toilet so tea because it's being flushed or what?
And it spins.
And so it's like discombobulating for the ET because it's being flushed and rotating?
Yeah, but the
nauseating
symbol
for the bacteria?
Yeah. Well, it's saying enough's enough, out you go. So keep them in balance, the scales, right? So okay. A toil ET is the finger of God. It's like a cyclone symbol. Yeah.
The tornado. Go, yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. The prophecy of the dogs has to do with Canary Islands. It's not canary. It's canine airy. Has to do with January and February. This is why it's beautiful that we're meeting now. So January and February were the two added months. Romans only had 10 months. So January and February were the twins, the sucklings. They were the Romeo, Roman and Romulus. This is how Rome started. This is before language and religion. This was in Bologna. This is where I went to. This is where they started the first university, so you could all be serious. This is where they started all the Roman circuits, which are all around the world, especially in the US and the UK. They map this everywhere you're living. You walk around, you're living on a Roman circuit. Roman means ET. They're ETs. They speak of the three kings, the evil ones around this time, who changed us. They had the Roman Republic, and then they had the Roman Empire. There's two. And something happened. And they made us serious so that you could stop being a jest. Jestar. Be a fool, be with spirit, be open-hearted, be silly, be playful. And they made us have rules. And this is like, well, when I think of someone serious, I think of all the doctors that I would see. And, you know, especially when I was just having children, I remember Branson being in the pediatrician's office, and I was breastfeeding while I was speaking to this doctor, and he asked what was my medical program that I was going to have for Gemma. And I said, oh, we don't believe in that. We're going to try the natural approach. This gentleman, if I can call him that, stood up while I'm breastfeeding. I mean, I'm discreet, obviously. I've got the baby in a pouch. Stood up over his desk and started hitting his desk, yelling at me, telling me how I'm breaking down society, how I'm going to kill my children. And I didn't cry. And I said, thank you. I'm going now. I still paid, though, still kicking myself over that one, Brandon. I still paid for the appointment. If I ever had a regret, it was that day paying. I wished I didn't. I wish I walked out and said, thank you, but you're not getting.
That's okay. Consider it an investment in your last time to deal with that thing. You know?
Oh, yeah. Last time.
Yeah, yeah. That was your last payment on that nonsense, and then you unsubscribe from it. Oh, good on you.
See?
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Oh, see? Again.
And I go, really? It can't be this simple. And then I go simple. It's simple. They want, if you're simple and stupid and playful and smileful, you're wrong. You're not taking it seriously because you don't have a scientific evidence, blah, 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 blah. You look into Albert Einstein, Tesla, Beethoven, all these people, they were really funny. They were really playful. Even the gentleman Jung, synchronicity. He was having ET contact. He talks about it, the red and black book. But he couldn't because he wouldn't be taken seriously. So he kept it secret. And you know what? I get him. If I meet Jung, I'm going to give him a big hug. If I meet him in one realm or something, because I go, you guys, it's a tough. The policing of the public is tough. I know you get it.
Oh, I'm smelling what you're stepping in so hard. It's so silly.
We're
So
stepping
silly.
in it right.
Well, and I visited your beautiful country, and there's some big differences I noticed, just driving around over there. For instance, when we were driving around, we went through like a 4-hour road trip through the country, out northeast of Melbourne, through Ballarat, like through all this amazing, amazing, beautiful backcountry. And the only sign that we saw, the only billboard we saw, was one, and it was massive, and it was in the middle of the road, and it read, "The police can catch you anywhere doing anything at any time," and that's all the sign read. And it was lit up, when it needed to be. It was black with white writing on it, and that was it. There was no like, "Have a great day," "Thanks for being nice to one another," "Get out of the left-hand lane, it's only for passing," all those kind of things. There was none of that. It was just this authoritarian reminder that you can be, you're doing wrong, and we can catch you at any time, right? So it's that mentality that's cast upon that sort of allows the people to govern themselves. And this is something I've said about Australia. The second you guys figure out what's going on over there and stand up, it's going to be over, because you guys are such a beautiful people, and we love you. And so we can't wait for y'all to realize it as well. Also, the major export we saw down there, which was, south, which would be north for us, so it makes sense because of the climate, was sheep. And so it's another kind of visible reminder that you are viewed that way, that your livestock even are sheep, that main export in that area. That's all we saw. We didn't see cows or anything. It was just really interesting, the authoritarian vibe that we got from it, but also that creates freedom. That pressure creates diamonds. So are you seeing this where you are, that really that it's creating more resistance than acquiescence lately?
Oh, the last few times I went out, people are starting to crack a smile with me because I like walking past people and smiling, and so many won't smile back since the lockdowns. They don't smile back, and so I'm just smiling at their pets, hoping the pets will smile back. But even the kids are dumbed down. They're just. There's no interaction. There's no eye contact, and I really miss it. I miss everyone. Where'd you all go? Come back. And I've last few times I've been out, which I don't go out as much as Richard does, and the kids. But when I go out now, I've seen a few people. Just I can see the little crack of the smile coming back, and I'm like, there it is. So that I'm judging mass consciousness on that. Crack of the smile, and people go, that's silly. Like, really, really, is it that hard to just acknowledge another human when you walk past them?
I'm from the
It's
South. We do that. Like, it's weird to us when we go north and they don't. It's very rare. So yeah, I hear you. But what do you feel about being the light? Like, you're the reason that people can crack that smile. You're the reason that they can feel like life's not that shitty. Maybe you're the only person smiling at them all day. That's one of the recommendations I give to people, and I say it on the show all the time. Treat doorways as smile cues. Whenever you walk through one of them, smile. Make it a habit around your house. When you walk into your bedroom, whatever, just smile. Make it a habit. Oh, I'm walking through a door. I'm going to smile. And doing this, maybe you're the only person that entered that doctor's office or that store or whatever that smiled all day long. And you create this wave of it's going to be okay, even in a little smirk. And I think a little smirk goes a long way. I mean, look at the Mona Lisa, right? Everybody's infatuated with that, and she knows something's up.
Well, the little smirk also can be, I understand, I know. And And that's what I probably is. It's that Mona Lisa moment where, you know, she knows stuff.
She knew some shit.
You can see it. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, resting knows some shit face. Yeah.
Yeah. So to, it's great to know stuff. And when you come into ascension or awakening, and which is where a lot of people are, they're in that first stages. Do you remember that far back, Brennan?
20-something years ago, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was rough. I was, like, young, yeah. though. I was 18. I was angry anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was like, you mean this shit's going on? I was so mad. I was a Paul Revere. It was so bad.
And you try and tell everyone. You try and tell all your family. And
hung my flag up upside down, American flag upside down. My mom hated it. She was like, dang, turn that around. Your grandfather fought. Yeah. And I was like, none of them died in the war. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? But anyway, please.
You become like a, well, that's like the first stage. You become like an activist.
Yeah, yeah. You get angry. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you go to warfare. And then you look back at the whole thing and you're going, that was just me, because they weren't even seeing it. Like that to them would just look like, look what she's doing. And I'm not the only, you've done it. So many people I know have gone through this stage, right? So with the Mona Lisa, with that little smirk, is that journey. That little curl up of the lip is that journey that you understand. And this is what they talk of, the witness, the C act. We go on about the C act a lot, the one ones, it's the matrix. So once you understand the mother's being tricked all the way along, then you go back to your place of entry and you start from ground up, literally. I mean, everything rips everything out of you. Every chord, every frequency is tugged at. You go back to this rock bottom stage and then you come back from there. And this is what they talk of with great Buddhas and great ascended ones is not, and I'm not saying that I'm that, I mean, I'm just saying you go to rock bottom and then they come back. They don't go, ha ha, I'm here now. I'm the first one. I win. It's not like that. It's not a competition. It's not a human race. You go back there and then you come back with an understanding with everyone. It's not a ha ha. It's not an aha. It's that Mona Lisa. I get it. I see where you're going. I feel for you.
Yep. It's that, it's all a joke and I get it. And it's going to be dark and light and no one's coming to save you. And it is truly up to us. And that's the joke too, is that it's really up to us, guys. So and then you look around and see the conditioning and how it worked and the systems and how infiltrated, and you're just looking at it going, okay. But the answer to the question is, what can I do? Is just you tend your garden, you carve your own path. You don't worry about anybody else's path and what they're doing to carve it with the chainsaw that they have to cut through the trees and cut their, like, why don't I have a chainsaw? You don't, you got this little hatchet, make it work. You know what I mean? And so, but it's your path. It's beautiful. And you can do anything you want. And just, you know, that abolishing that comparison curse, you know, saying the comparison curse is dead within me. I'm going to keep trudging forward. Ignore this distractive nonsense out here that's really doing a great job right now. I feel it yanking folks off of their main missions here. But this is now the time to dig down and focus and never be more focused on where you're going, tending your garden, not worried about what everybody else is fucking doing. Just mind your business and keep moving forward with your shit. And it's in this that you find the enlightenment. It's in this that we are saved, you know? Because everybody's looking around going, oh, is this guy gonna, and maybe we can, and then it can be so reactionary. And it's like, just what are you doing? What is your thought on this? And if you can't answer the question, then, you know, get in a really good community, you know what I mean? Where you guys can have really honest, open ideas where they can be shared and things like that. And that's where this is going to be found, guys. It's not going to come from out there. None's going to land on your yard and tell you, it's here, hop on, guys. It's going to be okay. I know we'd all like that. Or Dolores Cannon's idea where, like, all the shit things just kind of split off and some extra earth, maybe we see it queef off into space or something. And we're like, oh, bye, everybody. You know, he sucked. None of that's going to happen. So it's up to us to create it. But you've got to liberate yourself first. You can't do it from a stuck position.
So you have to be like the dung beetle, scarab.
Yeah.
So you got to get... You got to pick up your shit.
Get your shit.
Deal with it.
Put it in a bag.
And be happy with it and reuse it. And this word waste is our waste. Our waste is heaven, but they call it waste. waste. And this drawing is amazing. I'm mesmerized, really. Seriously, she is insane. So it's an elephant dung beetle, basically, the same family. So elephant is Ganesh, the great mover. So this conversation and this drawing, I'm seriously feel like I've just been sucked down every rabbit hole just right with you guys, three of us now. The fact that it's three as well, this is what they used to do on the pyramids. They would have three to balance the frequency.
Pyramid in a drawing there. See the geometry behind it?
The geometry is amazing. It's blowing me away.
It's great,
I'm so proud that it's gone, because it's got the horns. The horns are so symbolic as well.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Please. No,
there's
please.
A little delay, yeah. I always worry in my interviews, because there's this 1 second delay, that it always looks like I'm bulldozing, and because Richard calls me the bulldozer in the garden. And
Not at all. And then I get excited talking to you, and I'm like, oh, and then I will take a deep breath before I speak, and thank you for the recognition. We'll both just take a deep breath.
I'm so excited, because I have huge greatness after speaking with Brandon, always. So why did I bring up that story about being a bulldozer? So when I was really pregnant, I used to get really mad at Richard, because I had all these lists of him not being doing these lists. This is husband and wife issue here. And I have lists, like, and I can't do them because I'm so fat and I can't bend and I'm frustrated, and it's Richard's fault. And I realized that it isn't Richard's fault, and he's not going to do the list because he doesn't see the importance of the list. But a pregnant woman is like a bulldozer. So I would have these piles of mulch, like trees, like big branches. They're too heavy for me to lift. And that's why I kept saying it was his job. And one day I woke up and I went, this is not his list, it's mine. So what I would do is I would spend every single day, I'd do a couple of hours, and I would walk one stick up and down, up and down, up and down. And by my whole pregnancy, I would have the whole thing down. So it was like this, it was like being a monk sent up to a cave. and it made me realize that the frustration was not with him, it was with myself. And you have to do this, stick by stick or step by step, you know. And this step by step is us. It's the practicing of, you know, walking through each room and smiling. And that's the practice. That's us being that little Mona Lisa smile and going, you got to deal with your waste and reuse it. There is no lack. There is no lack. The dung beetle tells us this. It just reuses it. And the word sewage is CH. It's the seeing of the starseed of us. It's one of the biggest things the Romans did in their circuits, was create sewage. A lot of, yeah, through the pyramids and things that you see, it was a big deal. Yeah, it goes so deep, and I don't know how deep we're going to go with it, and I'm excited. I want to see how you react to it, because I know then I'll know the next topic too.
I love it. Let's go deep. We go deep here because that's what we offer. And every time you come on, you say that new things happen. So we're going to go for it. Like, let's absolutely go for this, please. Whatever you're guided to talk about, let's absolutely go for this, please.
So, you know, I love Karen Holton. Love her.
Yes. Yes. New book out.
She has her new book out. She's got another one coming. She's on fire.
Doing
she
great.
Is just, yeah. She cut her hair and just like, bam. And I just feel like She's amazing. And she asked me for some information on the Greys. Okay, I'll get it to you at the end of the week. And it was very nice that she invited me to share with her the information on the Greys. It's deep, Brandon. It's the kangaroo.
Greys are kangaroos?
They're called the Greys.
Yes. So do you think grey aliens are a kangaroo species?
I haven't fully... So kangaroo is a dog. In Australia, we used to have the thylacine, which is the Tasmanian tiger.
Yeah,
they say they're extinct. That's great, but our family's seen them.
Yeah, a lot of people have seen them.
We saw them crossing the road, and we thought they had been. We stopped because we thought it was a dog that had been hit. It's not. It's how they walk because they're half kangaroo. They have a pouch, and their back legs are like a kangaroo. So they do the kangaroo walk at the back. So they look like they've been injured. This is how we knew that it has a weird tail. And we saw two, which was great because we knew that it was, if there's two, you know what that means. There's more.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because yeah. Then they're like husband and wife. And so anyway, we saw these ones across the road. And it's haunted me because wolf has haunted me as a child and dog has haunted me. And the thylacine is half wolf. And so I started, my kids, so with Karen asking for the Greys, this is the synchronicity within 1 week, right? And then you say you want to come and do this show together. So you pick I let you pick the date because
yes,
I wanted
you did.
To see, and you confirmed it. And so in this week, my kids keep playing this song called The Next Episode. And going, why is this song? It's by Snoop Doggy.
Yes, it is. And
going, really? It's Kangaroo
and Dr.
Jack.
Dr. Dre. Yeah.
It's Kangaroo Jack. They know this stuff. They create smear campaigns with these films. Kangaroo Jack, he wears, it's about a kangaroo, and these Americans come over and they play this music, the next episode, Snoop Doggy. You listen to the words of it. Oh my God. It's about an MF, which is basically the father. And the kids go, you're not allowed to say that word. How come you're allowed to say it? I said, I'm not. I'm researching Kangaroo Jack. I'm wanting to know why it's Kangaroo Jack. And, Brandon, it's about the dog prophecy. This week I found out, I think it was this week or last week, I found out, just by the way, in the news that they worked out that all human DNA comes from here, us, Oz. All of it, the DNA stems from here. And then they call Uluru the belly button of Earth, you know, or the heart of Earth, or whatever you want to call it. I know.
So the belly button of Earth is like a little Audi, huh?
It's a place of entry. Placenta, placebo effect. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, let me tell you, under those big rocks. And a lot of your US military are out there as well. We won't go into that one. That's another whole full episode in itself.
Yeah, you got Pine Gap up there.
Yeah, well, the biggest fence in the world is the rabbit fence. Rabbit fence is over 3 meters high in some places. Rabbits aren't that big.
What kind of rabbits y'all got jumping around out there, you know?
They're not that big. Anyway, this is where all the big uranium mines are out there. Anyway, this Kangaroo Jack, in the prophecies of the Hopi and stuff, they talk of, I spoke of this with my friend Mila, And she speaks a lot about the Hopi prophecies and things like this. And they talk of the hooded red one, the red cap one coming. And I'm going, is this Kangaroo Jack? When Jack was born, so 10 days after each child's birth, we went and saw this astrologer back in, we're talking 1997, before apps and phones and everything. And she gave us clues of the children. She said they're gifts. So Gemma was like the warrior, the one that brings it through and brings it through with force. And she said, Jack will be a great healer, but I don't know how, I don't understand how he's going to heal. She said, it's not healing in a physical form. And she said, it hasn't been invented yet. It hit me yesterday, Branton, while I'm thinking of this graze for Karen. It's healer. Healer is a dog, a blue healer.
Yeah.
It's the... when I train our dogs, it's heal, heal, come here, heal. So Kangaroo Jack is somehow it's how they created our human form now. You look at a kangaroo standing. When you look at a kangaroo standing, it looks like it. A human, they talk about the kangaroo gaze and why do kangaroos gaze at humans? And they say they pierce into your soul. I feel like they know who we are. Their pouch, the way they're the only other species that has carries their young like this. So their young comes out and like the little fetus. You start looking at that one looks like a, that looks like a gray.
Yeah, a lot of babies look like aliens, yeah.
Yeah, right? So in a way, I heard Dolores Cannon say the grays are gophers, gophers. Yeah, so, and they go between and they collect, a lot of people mention that it's, they're taking things from us all the time. I think they're creating us. And the little kangaroo does a walk up into the pouch and then starts like breastfeeding in the pouch. So they've changed our, so they've stood us up like the kangaroo. They've done something to the tail. And then they have changed the head of us. And so when you hear it, so you have pig and dog are the same. Pig laws are very strict in Australia, and I'm pretty sure it's the same overseas. I know this from Jet Farming, working with pig farmers, is pigs are not allowed to be in the sun because if the pig is in the sun, it looks like human skin. Pig abattoirs are very weird energy around here. They used to be everywhere through where we live. They since shut down a lot of them. Pig and dog are the same. Pig started from sea pig. A sea pig is a dolphin. Purpose. Porpoise. They're giving them a purpose. Are you kidding me? sea pig. So they go from dolphin is a sea pig. And they got pig. And then you have the skin of a pig is too hot. Hide. What are they hiding? You look at how our bodies look. You look at the DNA of a pig and a dog and a human. It's very similar. Why are they our best friends? Why is it God backwards? Respin the matrix and it is God. They are unconditional love. Our dogs are so beautiful. They just love us no matter what. And they it's touched our hearts, and they've brought through this. They speak of this dog prophecy, Nostradamus. There's like over 23 or 24 different prophets speaking of the dog prophecy when the dog shows humanity changes. In many countries, you're not allowed to eat pig cultures. In my beautiful friend Mila again brought up that if you're not allowed to, in Utah, some of the religions, you're not allowed to say dog, a god. You have to say the reverse of dog. If you say the word God, you're like creating a blasphemy. You have to say the reverse of dog. This is, I think, Utah, she said. It was one of the religions she was in.
I wonder if it's got something to do with the fact that everything here is inverted. So it would make sense that the word God would be the inversion of what's actually the beneficent creature around here, which would be a dog. I mean, I've said this forever. We all know this. We're all, if you're a dog person, you know, we don't fucking deserve them. No matter how good you are to them, we don't deserve them, guys, you know, and that's just it. And then I'm thinking of this cynocephalus. Have you ever heard of that? The dog-headed people. I've got some stuff I'm going to pull up in the afterthought that I've got where we're going to share pictures of these. But we're going to talk chimeras as well, because this is another thing that's come up recently, is this idea that, you know, a lot of countries, and they singled in on Japan, but I know that they're not the isolation here, have had chimera-type privileges to do whatever they want for a long time, decades and decades, of injecting, you know, animal DNA and mixing it with humans, or human DNA in animals and bringing that to gestation and all these creatures. And you think about these old maps that are found, like these Mappus Mundis and things like this, these old maps, and they have all these creatures on it, like the blimey, like the dude with no head, but he's got eyes and a smile on his chest here or whatever, which could be the Headless Horseman. You could have like all of these tricks being played on the local people around with these other creatures that are just naturally don't have a head, but he could carry a pumpkin around and ride just fine, right? So you think of this, and then the dog-headed people. And then maybe there was some sort of, you know, this whole place could be just a genetics lab, you know, that's just being tampered with and tinkered with. And then every now and then they go, it kind of sucks here. And they just pop the top off of the top of it and let all the waters in. And then it just floods the place out. And they go, all right, we're going to start over. You know, that was kind of shitty. And then maybe this is why, like, the pyramids and stuff stick around, because you don't need to destroy those things. We'll just set up a new batch of creatures to run around here. And it's very interesting, too, this idea of the ark, right, with Noah, that whenever a flood was going to happen, that they preserved the species, two of each, right? But, I mean, that could, again, be just a genetics lab. I mean, because physically, obviously, that would be silly to grab two of each physical creature, immobilize them somehow or something like that, keep them in, like, the whole logistics is a nightmare. But if you take samples of them to then recreate them genetically or do whatever you want later and have the technology to do it easily, then that's more feasible. So it's just really interesting when we talk about these chimeras, this blending, this genetics, I mean, CRISPR, all of this kind of stuff. You can pick your baby's eye color and shit like that. I mean, maybe it's just our idea of the natural world. Like, maybe there's nothing to that. Like, that's not a real thing. Because if we hear stories right, that people are getting genetically modified by these ETs constantly, or hybrid babies and all kinds of stuff. So you're being dicked with. Think of your food, your water, your air, all of this stuff. All this is just a massive experiment, and you're the rat in the cage, you know?
Yeah, but there's, so the dog man and the wolf man and werewolf, and the head is the Sphinx. To get a head, Brennan. I have so many people say to me, how am I going to get a head with now knowing and awakening and this process, and because I have to let go of all my this, and I have to let go of this, and I might have to lose the house, and I have to learn a new way of being with money and abundance and stuff. How do I get ahead? I go, oh my gosh, that's what it is. It's literally breakdown. You have to break it down, all these programs in us, to get ahead. They needed us to get our head, to carry our head. Our head is one of the heaviest things in our body. The head only grows twice, I think, as from a child, has two stages of growth. When you come out, your head, the two half seeds get pushed in the birth canal, and they collapse in on each other. And then then as they come out the birth canal, they can open up. We're the only species that carries the baby the way we do. The kangaroo does it on the other way, and we do it this way. I'm laughing because the synchronicity in this Kangaroo Jack film, they told us, and so this is now going over multi-dimensional, right? So 97, they told us we were going to be royal, and I'm like, what does that all mean? Then I realized we're connected to this other family. The other family showed me that when he pops his leg will pop out. He like dislocated his leg. He'll leave. Don't worry. He'll come back. He did this year or last year. Comes back after 3 years. We didn't know if he was alive. Comes back. And I wasn't sure with the prophecies of us, I guess, or whatever the forecast of us was. When they said that he would come back and these feelings of him coming back, I didn't know if he was going to come back in spirit. So I was kind of ready for anything, to be honest, which means, you know, I had to let go of my son, right? My baby. Anyway, he comes back. When he comes back, there'll be great abundance for humanity. This is an astrologer saying it. This is another realm saying it to me. And now I'm starting to see it happen in people. I'm starting to see their smoke come back. It's happening, Brandon. It's working. What you're doing with your audience, it's working. Us talking about possibilities of actually how we're made up, maybe this will support the ones that know stuff that similar to us, that with all the information they're about to bring out, they'll go, okay, well, there's all that, but maybe this is where we came from, and it will take the heat off all the confusion and all the anger that they might have at ETs and things like this, because you realize that they literally are in us, have created us, are us, versions of us. It takes the how dare you do this to me, and you know.
Would you want to be the one, though, riding around the spaceship picking things up, going, I want to see what you and you look like blended together, you know, rather than the thing that is possibly one of the two things that they would like to see interacted with in some way of their choosing?
I think people are already seeing me. They're seeing Bigfoots. They're seeing things in the forest, and they're coming to heads ahead with them. They're literally crossing their paths. They hear things. We hear things. We got the Yowie here, and they've got a whole town where Jet works, and they won't talk about it because they know how the rest of the public deals with them. They call them, like me, crazy. These people record all of the voices and the strange occurrences. They've been filming it for years. They just don't share it with everyone because of how we police them, because we're so serious. Why? Because they, ones that know how the other ones who don't know respond. You police. Police has lice in it, by the way. Pole lice.
Well, they're supposed to be peace officers, actually. That's the oath that they take, is to be a peace officer. Do you ever hear any of them describe themselves that way? Isn't that interesting? That's the oath they take. And none of that's written on the side of the cars. That used to be written on the side of cars, like protect and serve and all that stuff. It's not there anymore. It's all shut up, you know.
Well, when we see a police car, especially the speeding ones, the energy that comes from it generally feels like the same as when you're in the surf with a shark.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's
you
the
get a
same
vibe,
feeling.
Right? Like you're being hunted.
Yeah, it feels like that way. And a shark will not attack you if you know. If and you, There's this beautiful girl in Hawaii. I think something Ramsey. She swims with tiger sharks and stuff and hangs out with them. They're all her friends. And she says when you go in the water, after spin 360, you have to keep spinning with them. Because as soon as you take your eyes off them, that's when they come at you. So you have to be in acknowledgement of them. So it's the same with the police car. It's or the authorities. You once you understand them and you acknowledge them, then you can move with them. So you're not becoming a victim, but you're aware, right? You're not. So that's how when the police cars pass, you'll see they can they. I don't know how they do, but they just need know how to know who to pull over and who not to pull over. It's weird. And the other thing we've noticed just recently is that they're pulling away. It's like they've been going on strike, I think. So they'll just not turn up to things and stuff. And I think this is the breaking down of the system because we're Commonwealth countries. Mm-hmm. So we're like Canada. Yeah. So we're seeing this shutdown. We're seeing a lot of shutdowns, but they're very quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're very quiet. That's why the Mona Lisa smirks are coming out.
That's right, yeah. And again, astrologically, it's saying all of this is supposed to be happening now. Systems breaking down, new ones coming up, new radical things being tossed around by our government. And it's silly, this term of one party now calling the other party something completely different, relabeling it now to an oligarchy. And it's fascinating because we've been like seven different governments, one of them being an oligarchy for a long time. Not the Republic is still here, but it's just hidden and you got to find it and stand up for it, which is interesting too, that all this stuff is here. And what I'm finding with the sovereignty trek that I'm on is really what you do is you just stand up and say, I'm a living person and I'm unsubscribing from this nonsense. You can't treat me like a corporation anymore. And they go, oh, okay. And they file the paperwork and that's it. But you have to stand up and acknowledge it. You have to say, this is not what's happening anymore with me. And especially with all of these systems now crumbling down, like you said, I see this as well. All these people worried about money and shit like that. I don't know. I think it's going to look very, very different here very, very soon. And it's going to be interesting. And this is, again, why it's never been more important to take care of your neighbors, take care of your family, take care of your own garden right now, your health, all those kind of things. Just stay out of the nonsense distraction, but don't take your eyes off of it because that's the shark, right? Keep your eye on it, but just keep like one eye on it. You know, Steve Buscemi, this thing. Have one, just have a mind of its own, wandering around, seeing this stuff, but keep the other eye focused on what you're doing.
Yeah. And well, that's the ease and grace through the chaos. That's they right. speak of, yeah, they speak of this, January and February is it's the 2 months that have Airy on the end, which is Canary, which is the dog islands.
The main, area. I love it.
The dog
canine area so sounds like a big dog park, you know.
Well, Canary is canine.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's connected to Sirius, and the main island of Canary Islands is has the finger of God, which comes back to Toil ET. The finger of God is the finger of God is your wedding finger. It's in the nebulas up there, the stars. There's a finger. There's a constellation that looks like that up there. I go, no, it doesn't. I go, yeah, it does. It looks like this. It's from NASA. They say it's official. It looks like the finger of God. They call this the finger of God because this has a nerve that goes all the way to your heart. But as we understand the heart isn't the heart. The heart's the spleen. So this goes all the way to our place of entry. They call it the wedding finger. Wedding means weed. Wedding is about man. Wedding, this is beautiful. The separation created in man and female, it's not about man and female. It's not about wedding. Wedding is understanding weed. Once you understand weed, you keep it at balance. You keep the scales in balance.
It's like waiting on water, like staying buoyant.
not sinking, yeah, yeah. but not, yeah.
You stay in harmony with yourself. When you're not when you're not in marriage with the plants assisting you, the host gets taken over. It does. And then you can't have a smirk. There's no smirking.
There's no smirking.
Because you're serious. Because you're too serious. And you know, like, and you, how did they treat Tesla? They treated him like a crazy man. Same with Zhang. Zhang knew, so he kept secret. Mr. Synchronicity Man. You know, these great men, even these great families that knew stuff, they would have to keep it a secret. They knew that there would be one day where the ones would come, and those ones are us. And this great prophecy of now is us being the ones of us and speaking and sharing and being the true tells of us. And if, so I always say this, so if I don't do these tells when the calling comes, I get such discomfort. Like, I seriously, my gums flare up, and because I'm holding all that in, and it was supposed to be shared. We're supposed to share. This is what happens with the gurus and the great ascended masters, is they didn't keep it all for themselves. It would have made them ill. They didn't go, ha ha, we won. We won the human race. They had touched down at rock bottom. They pulled themselves apart. Then they put themselves back together. And now they come back and they share and they tell and they assist. And this is, yeah, this is where I know you're there.
Do you think we're going to have dog people come out of UFOs here pretty soon?
I think they're coming out of the woodwork. I think, and they're so scared. Like this Thyssen that we would see, it looked back at me, Brandon. It had the stripes on its feet, on its legs. It looked back at me, and this wolf look back at me is like the kangaroo stare. It's like they're looking back going, I'm man's best friend. I'm God. Remember who I am. And this is part of the dog prophecy. You can, many cultures, like Nostradamus, they've got many different versions of the dog prophecy. It's about pause moments. All the dog symbolism, heal. it's in literature.
That's
everywhere.
The biggest one. I just shut down when you said it. I lit up actually because it that's the one. Taking the pause has been the thing that has brought me the biggest grace. And it's just so interesting when you say it, dude. It just makes so much sense. And the more I'm looking at my dog right now sleeping, just like an angel. And she has been this angel that has come into our life. She's actually a healer, an Australian cattle dog and a Texas healer mixed together. And Whitney Fox told us in a reading my wife had with her, she won a free reading. And Whitney Fox said that there would be a healer that would come into our lives. And then I think the next week or two, we got her. And so it's been this incredible list of synchronicities. And we just actually had to put down or send to the other side a dog that we've had for a long time. It was just time. And so he moved on, and we'd been running basically just like a retirement home for dogs for like the past 7 years. We put 6 dogs down in 7 years, and it's been hard, but they were all old as shit. Like even the vet was like, man, they're just old. They lived wonderful lives, but we give them the best. I mean, we are the farm that, whenever parents say, oh, the dog's going to go live on a farm, we're literally that. Like, they get steaks cooked for them. They do anything they want. They can go outside. Like, it's awesome. And so we love the environment that we're able to give them and provide. And yes, they're just dogs. And we didn't have kids kind of because of this. Our animal husbandry desires were more of that we are just drawn to care for animals more. That's just fine. You know, and you're having enough kids for all of us, Elsa. So I figured we'd sit this one out. It's interesting when you start connecting these things, and then literally the things that impact your life most are dog references. Again, like the pause. That one really got to me, honestly. When you said it, I was just like, oh. And so I had to pause and let everybody know how, what that meant.
Well, the thing I love so much about our dog is I always laugh because I always call him the favorite child. He's the dog that's silent. And he taught me about the devil, the silent God, the seated Cupid. And he made me understand the devil under different terms, not but the graphics of Hollywood and movies and stuff, but he made me understand that the fallen angel or the silent God, he was the one that played music, harmony, hurts up in heaven, falls down to earth and goes, I'm going to sit this one out. I'm not going to play music. Well, all the other angels got mad at him and confused because he wouldn't speak. He wouldn't play music. He wouldn't speak. He wouldn't sing. And all the other angels were like, well, you have to. This is what you did in heaven, policing, right? Well, then they started to say he's the bad one. I mean, this just sounds like my whole life. So he's classed as the devil. To them, he's the devil. Look at who's saying it. And this is what you have to do with literature and the Bibles, the versions of the Bibles and the texts that you read. Who was writing the script? And now we're coming back to actors. Who, sorry, it's just, I am not laughing at people. I'm laughing at the words because I'm the one that bought it all. I'm not laughing at anyone. I'm laughing at myself because
I think you have to buy it. You have to buy it for a little bit so you know it is not something you wanted to be sold. It's you. Yeah. This is a fuck around and find out place. And the easier we are on ourselves for the experiments that we've taken to find out, and at least you've gone down paths most people wouldn't have even tried. You know, they may glance down the hallway and go, fuck that. And you just stroll right down it. Like, that's massive. But you have to experience to know here. And that's just the way it goes. You know, no matter how enlightened we think we are or how many people tell you that you're integrating so many past lives and whatever, perhaps. But what's occurring right now from your perspective is brand new and never been done before. And so, yeah. And the more scrutiny you get for something, in my experience, the more on track you are.
Yeah. Well, now we're seeing this play out because all the, you know, conspiracy theories are actually a thing.
Yeah, we're running out of them being called so conspiracy theories. They're just being confirmed.
Yeah. So now we're seeing the smirk in it because we're laughing because they'll hear information, they'll remote view things as they come through like this, and they'll go, oh, great, now what? And then they'll have to create something to create a little bit of deviation or confusion to steer messages away from this, or they'll enlighten it more. And so it's interesting. So people go, well, how can you say that Kangaroo Jack is related to you? How can you say that the movie Frozen is related to you? Well, it doesn't worry me whether you want to believe it or not. The synchronicity of it and the dovetailing and the time that it comes out, this is synchronizing with the birth of my son. This is, you know, this synchronizes with so many things, and it's just I'm not saying I'm special, I'm just saying this is what I've noticed happening in my life. This is how I realize I'm not random. I have a purpose, porpoise, sea pig, dog, here we go again. Yeah. And so when you around these creatures, the dolphin and the pig and the dogs and the cows, they're so beautiful. They are. They're so, when they look at you and stuff, like when you see these whales come up beside your boat, they're doing the Mona Lisa at us. And they're doing the Mona Lisa because they know that one day we'll know, we'll come back into ourselves. And this is it. We're coming back into ourselves. We don't know who we are, but it doesn't matter. It's okay. We just know that we're coming back into ourselves. Embrace that smirk, which I get with you all the time, Brandon. I get that so much. We embrace the smirk and now walk it through the next day. And the next day you'll go, oh, my God, really? And then you'll have another aha or another smirk, and then you walk it through that day. You don't carry it all. It just treat each day like a, so that you don't age.
Big thing we say around here is embrace the suck. And that has been what we've talked about when, you know, facing challenges and things like that. Like, just embrace the suck. Be the bison that runs into the storm, not any other creature that runs away from it. And it's interesting you say embrace the smirk. I think that this is the new level up of this, is embrace the smirk, not the suck. You've already embraced enough of the suck. The point is now to see the humor in it. And this is something I've been talking to a lot of folks. Mark Malone and I talked about this yesterday, specifically Ryan Sprague and I on the phone the other day. It's been about this trickster element to this. My buddy Ben, same thing. We're all seeing this. It's a big fucking joke. And it's sick because it's a sick joke in a lot of ways. And at many levels of this, it's sick. And there are times I can still access the nausea of the joke going on around here. But I do feel it's at a greater level, motivating everyone to change and to be different in a great way. Ask more questions, all of these things. It's just happening so quick and so much and so rapidly that every time you turn around now, there's new opportunities to look at things in a different way. Whether they're true or not, it doesn't matter. It's alternate perspectives being tossed constantly that then have so much weight on either side that you can't rule either out, especially the unfalsifiables and unprovables. These are prolific throughout the realm right now. And then especially the paradox as well. This is the part I feel that we are all at with this right now. And it's all collapsing at the same time. It is quietly. It's like while you were riding your bike, your dad pulled up next to you and started slowly taking the training wheels off as you were riding your bike. And he's got one off and then the other side, and you're just sort of floating on your own now. You think maybe that there's some support structure in the form of a government or an economic system or something that has your back, but it's not. It's not there. You are on your own now. So the key here is to not freak out when you find that out and to knock yourself off balance just by thinking about it. And two, to keep your balance. Just keep your eyes on the road ahead. Keep moving forward. You don't have any training wheels, but we're all here with you. You know, we're all here. And it's a beautiful time to be here now because there is this new level of self-governance. This, okay, we're done laying around and having decisions being made for us. You know, that's what got us where we are. And that era is ending astrologically anyhow. Like I said, this time period right now, French Revolution, American Revolution, American Civil War, all of it fell within this temperament of astrological happenings right now. And we can see it. Systems crumbling. That's the whole point. We did that for a bit, gave it a good go. Now let's do something else. And it's a fascinating realm we find ourselves in. But again, it's never been more important, I think, to really just take pause, take a deep breath, you know, and just relax. If you could see my dog right now, she's turned over completely sideways with her feet back up on the back of the couch, and she's just passed out. She's more relaxed right now than anybody. So we'll take a cue from Yokai's book here, even though you can't see her.
She's being blessed because she's going, finally, I get it.
Oh, she's so great. She is so great.
Well, the dog is what helped me to understand the double doors, the plasma beings of us, which is Egyptian. And it was through the dog passing, and I was caring for her for 3 months. This was a couple of years back now, January, February again. So these 2 months, the twins, they call them the sucklings. You said it. You called it the suck phase.
Yeah, embracing the suck, yeah.
But that's what they called these two, the Romans. They're the ones that created Rome. All roads lead to Rome.
Is it Romulus and Remus?
Yeah.
That suckled the wild wolf?
Yeah, but it's the same story. One of them kills the other brother, you know, like Horus, Taurus, Taas. Ta is the star seed that we are, the dust that comes on us. And when these comets come past, they keep upgrading us. This is why everyone's kind of flipping out at the moment, because they know this time, because it's annular. Comes around, and they call these 2 months are the added months, the twins, to Aries, which is Mars. This is why they have Airy on the end. They're affiliated with March. March and May is great, the grand. And this is why they would have Lent. This is why we have Mother's Day. It's not Mother, it's Marta. 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 Jesta. My, you know why Jesta is so important to me? My first competition horse that I really saved up for was a grey horse, the grey, called Jesta. Richard did not like this horse because this horse would try and kill him. But Jesta is, again, with spirit. It's the jinn. The jinn is argon. Jinn is the green gas. It's basically, they call it the lazy gas. It's one of the nobles. These words. They call it the lazy gas because it's the least reactive, and this is what they want us to be. It's called argon, dragon. They want us to be least reactive now and drag the ions. This is the Nazi symbol, compass with the tails on the end of the compass. And some people will be here, some people will be here, some people will be here, some people will be here. And you have the way showers who know their fifth element, which you did this symbol before with your hands. You went like this. That's the blue Shiva, the butterfly. You know the masculine and the feminine, the tantra in the middle. There ain't no one coming out for the butterfly. You got to do this on your own. You got to metamorphose from the worm to, or caterpillar, to the butterfly, the great butterfly of you. And so now you're the way show, the light, you shine for them. And I mean, this word shine is in everything. Shine is sunshine, sun. That's us. Why are we having these solar flares getting bigger and bigger? That's us. We react to the sun. The sun reacts from us. Then these comets come past. The reason we're having so much fallout from the comets, which they're trying to hide because it's raining in on us, is because the solar flares are bigger. So the frozen plasma is getting melted from these comets. The comets, they cannot predict comet or asteroid or meteor's orbit. They call them randoms. Because they don't know how they're going to move.
It's interesting too, I heard a buddy of ours who also talks about dogs and stars, Tyler Hansen, talk about the angle in which they come in. And now he's a flat earther. So if you consider this through that lens, that perhaps our realm isn't a spinning ball going through space. If you just consider that, then the things coming in are coming in deliberately, right? They're sort of sent here or dripped here from something above. Maybe it's got a shoddy seal and every now and then it just leaks, right? It happens. But the water's above or whatever, just needs some maintenance. But I would like to think like you do, that it's deliberate and that the things are sent in are intentional and that they bring upgrades. This is why comets were heralded throughout the years when they did appear, is because it always led to a bump in civilization afterwards. They always marked great changes through human history. So yes, you can't predict them because it may be cyclical to us. It may work at a rate based on how we progress and integrate what we're ready for. If we're ready for some damn upgrades, maybe we see a comet and upgrades be a coming. If not, maybe we're just stuck in something for a little bit and it needs a little bit more time. But this is also the fluctuation between the gas thing that you talked about and maybe these, was it the jinn that's related to the argon gas? And so that trickster god jinn, and it's funny you said gas because whenever I think of aliens, ET, Bigfoot, any of it, I think all of it is one thing that's, I describe it as a fog, honestly, Elsa. I don't know if you've heard me describe it that way, but everything I think is a fog that will then metamorphose into whatever the person seeing it needs to see based on their soul narrative and all sorts of other factors probably. But I think it can be anything. And so it's nothing and anything and everything all at the same time. But that's like a fog, right? It's something that can take itself, travel anywhere and appear differently depending on your angle that you're looking at it. Kind of like clouds. Whenever you're standing there, somebody's looking at a cloud. Then somebody sees a frog, somebody sees a heart, somebody else sees a butt, something like that. And so you don't get the same perception of any of this stuff. So the jinn actually has a great advantage operating in that realm because that's where they're comfortable. And that's where they can make the biggest impact because then it's very specific to each person. And this is what I feel gives the realm its subjectivity. This is what makes things so personal. And so the interactions, though mass viewed, interpreted separately and independently and individually. I just think it's fascinating, again, that you refer to this as sort of a fog. And then that's my description of it. And I really think that's what's going on here, to a degree, probably. But I'm open to that being changed, right?
Well, fog is tar, the raining down, because it's just fine. It's in the movie Dune. It's in multiple movies. They call it dust in the Golden Compass. So the fog comes down, tar us, and it lands on us and it keeps layering on us. So I always say we're crustacean to crustaceans.
Yeah, it's like a
Brandon,
sea floor.
It is a sea floor.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Because it's landing on, it's target.
Yeah.
It's the chicken and the egg. Taurus. Taurus is a dot and a circle. It's the chicken and the egg. So the tar comes to us. Look, it comes down onto us and lands on a plane. Plan ET. The reason they speak of flat earth is and this sounds mean, but I feel like they've enclosed us in a section with the frozen water. Okay, they're frozen. They've enclosed us in so that the ones that are in us can't live. Because they know about the ancient alien DNA, the big shifters in us. They know of their great intelligence, but they also know they got to keep them at a certain distance from them. Maybe this is possibly what about the greys is, because they become so fragile from them, because they eventually kill the host. And they call them snakes, reptilians, they give them all these names. But it's not one, it's... You can't say it's one thing, because it's, you know, when you go to a country, you can't blame one thing on the whole country. So it's not, yeah. So that when some people say, oh, they're reptilians, and I go, well, we've got reptilian in our brain. So, yeah, you know, have a little bit more, you know, just because this whole labeling is part of serious behavior. It's that frequency. Whereas when you have the smirk, you go, okay, well, maybe it is that, or maybe it is this, you know. So this ancient alien DNA in us, they also helped us to understand. They had to create language, like what I'm doing with you now. They've had to create this in us to get us to this stage of control.
It's like the Kali Yuga cycle, right? It's the dumbing down. It's this last little down cycle of this Bronze Age, really, is what we're in before we go back to this Golden Age that's supposed to last a decent amount of time, depending on who you talk to.
But if you didn't have language and religion and schooling and these programs in you, you didn't have any of those in there, how are they going to control you? Can you see what they've done to us?
I see, but I also see why it was beneficial to do it, air quotes, to us, so that we could break out of it. Like, I see that it was a hardly compacted soil so that we could break out. Those are the nutrients and things that we were fertilized with, was all the, and what's a great fertilizer? Down to our artist, Janine Burgess again, shit. And so we were fertilized with a bunch of shit, and we sifted through it like the beetle here, and then we're able to utilize only the nutrients and discard the rest, and then grow something really, really remarkable. So it's all tied right back in together, of course, Elsa. You remind me, by the way, and this is a compliment, of Jordan Maxwell. It just hit me while we were talking about it, and it's not like him specifically. It's the way that he delivers messages and makes me think in a completely separate neuron. You connect to a completely new part of my brain where it connects everything, but it's from like this... I'd like to say tower that I can see everything from, a real high perspective in my own brain and how it's all connected. So you have this upward trajectory neuron, is how I would describe it, visual, like spatially. But Jordan Maxwell did this for me with like just his writings and the way he spoke about things, the way he would say, like, you know, banks and the currency, and the way that he related things in specific ways and took words and broke them down, like the maritime law and these really difficult, challenging concepts, and just made it so obvious and clear, you do this. And it's a beautiful skill that I think needs to be recognized and not a lot of people have. And you have a very unique way of doing it. So it's even more fascinating to get to speak with you here, because the way you deliver things, I'm sitting here the whole time just going, oh my God, yes, 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 you know, and it's always like this when we get together, which is why I feel that there needs to be a good gap between when we get together, because there's so much to integrate. But let's do this. Let's kick it over to the afterthought here. Take a little break and kick it over to the afterthought. I want to let everybody know, I still have, you know, we're going to talk about dog-headed people. This Kangaroo Jack, I've got it pulled up here, and so we're definitely going to talk about that. I've got more to say about kangaroo nipples, actually, so we're definitely going to bring that up. But before we let you go here, and want to remind the audience that all the ways to find Elsa are going to be located down below, as well as the other appearances on the show here. She's had many, and we're grateful for every single one of them. Just go listen to them in order, guys. They're going to blow your mind. Another thing I want to mention here again to the audio only audience, and if you're a video version participant here, thank you so much for participating and enjoying Janine Burgess's work. This is her 52nd card of her new insect deck that she's got coming out that we are going to absolutely have her back on the show to talk about. But she does incredible work, and all the ways to find her located down below. And just want to thank Janine from the bottom of my heart for coming by and beautifying this thing. Look at that. That's just so cool. So before we let you run here, Elsa, and get into our afterthought here, what gets you out of bed every single morning and keeps you moving forward?
Looking in the eyes of my family. Love that. And a couple of the near-death times. Multiple death times. I was saying this to Richard last night. The only thing I want to do is look into his eyes. So when I've had those moments where, oh no, this is it, I'm like, where's Richard? I need to see his eyes. I've had quite a few pets cross over just recently over Christmas, and they all just wanted to look into my eyes. They just wanted to be together. And this is what we're doing now. We're coming back together. We've all been separated and disappeared and, you know, locked down and all this sort of stuff, and now we all just want to come back together and share and assist. And so when I wake up in the morning, first of all it's the family and the pets, and then I go, oh, where's all these people I met on social media, how are they all going? And so then I get to see their eyes too. So sounds pretty nothing, but to me it's just so big. I can't even put words on it. That to me is love. Love is not what I thought love is. Love is this. Love's being real with other people. Being open and just, you know, being vulnerable and being fragile. Fragile is the law of the cosmos.
Homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.